If you want to turn in your Bibles, we'll mostly be working from the book of Genesis, and you can turn to Genesis 12. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We've been examining blessing, the Hebrew word barak and the Greek eulogio. We've seen that blessing, his created beings, was one of God's primary desires. We learned that in order to flourish as humans, we need to hear positive comments in a ratio of about 3 to 5 to 1. So in other words, you need 3 or 5 times as many compliments as negative things. So if we are to bless, we need to speak in that way. We need to keep negative and demeaning comments out of our speech. And the last time I was with you, I talked about curses. We watched Balaam repeatedly try to curse Israel, and God reacting and turning Balaam's curses into blessings. Our God desires to bless, and he has been working tirelessly to overcome the curse he was forced to invoke and instead shower blessings. And that brings us now to God's plan for reestablishing blessing. Even as Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, God began his work of reconciliation and restoration of a relationship rooted in trust and blessing. The book of Genesis records the spreading corruption of humanity until the time of Noah. He and his family faithfully followed God, and as a result, were spared from the destruction of the old world. We're told that God remembered Noah and the animals and stopped the rain and dried up the land. And he made a promise to Noah in Genesis chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." And the narrative continues in Genesis 9:1. "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth.'" So God repeated his intention to bless a new people of earth and even promised that despite our tendency to follow after evil, there will be no more curses from him. God had set us in the garden with all we needed, and he blessed us that we might grow in numbers and in stature. But humanity became more angry, more wild, more murderous, and perhaps worst of all, more prideful and boastful. And God was backed into a corner and decided the only recourse was to start again. But when that was over, he promised on oath, with a rainbow as a seal, that curses would be no more and blessing would be his gift. Which brings us to the reading that I'd like to turn to now in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Some generations after Noah, God sets his plan into motion. It involved one man. Not any special man in the sense of importance, but a special man in that he had the one characteristic God most desires: selflessness. Selflessness coupled with a heart that is willing to follow. The antithesis of men who, through their own power, wanted to build a tower to the heavens to make themselves like God. Let's take a look now at Abraham's blessings, one that echoes throughout history right unto our own times and circumstances. In it, we see one man's response to blessing and a model for our response to God. Our reading begins with the action verb go. For Abram, later to be Abraham, this is the one and only command. His side of the agreement is that simple: go. I don't want to make light of the difficulty of that command. Even Yahweh realizes it in the words that follow. He says, "Leave your country, leave your people, leave even your family." You see, God was looking for trust. In that era, a man's worth was reckoned by his land. It spoke of your place in life, if you could root yourself in the land that you held. But Abram needed to give that up in favor of something that God would do in a new land that God says, "That I will show you." So Abram's first lesson in letting God work was to step away from what the world looked at as achievement and trust instead in God's care. Going meant something else. He would leave the country of his birth, but he would also leave his people. If status was related to fields and streams, a sense of being was tied to his people. Again, God recognizes that Abram must break with the path of the nations and become his own nation that would follow God's plan. He had to become a refugee in order to stand aside from his peers. Leaving was the only option. And finally, he needed to leave his clan. The Bible says, "Leave your father's household." As long as he was part of that group, the ties that bind would be bonds of imprisonment. He needed to be out from his father's family so that he could be the father of a new family. All of what God promises is predicated on that little word, go. And this is our first lesson today. None of God's blessings can be realized unless and until we are ready to follow him wholly and unswervingly. And I certainly wouldn't have remembered that if I was doing this from up here. Now God makes his promises, and they are emphatic. Just as go as an imperative, so is God's oath. "I will," he says three times and implies it a fourth. Does God command himself? Apparently he does. His word is his bond. He will do exactly as he says. Firstly, he will give Abram a new land. If Abram is ready to give up his homeland, God will give him a new homeland. And not only will he give it, he will show it to him. Some of you know that Earl Clint organizes trips to different places. But he doesn't just fill out the paperwork and hand you your ticket. He goes with you. Part of the appeal is he is taking you to a place he has been before. If you're going to the military tattoo in Halifax or a biblical extravaganza of lights and sounds, You know that he has been there and he's giving you his best. God is like that too. When Abram gets to the new land, God will be there as his guide, showing him the wonders and promise of a land that he knows well. And yet for all the promise of this new land, note that Abraham received it not for himself, but for his offspring. Till the end of his days, Abraham lived in a land with the people in friendship and peace, but he was always a foreigner. He even had to leave once to avoid a famine. He lived in a tent, moving from place to place on the promise that one day this would be the land that his family would inherit. After the land, God says again, I will make you a great nation. I will raise up from you an entire people. This promise is contingent on the first. A nation needs a place to live and grow. In Canada, we celebrate the fact that our nation is built on sharing a great land. And yet, even now, we wrestle with the fact that without the gifts of the Indigenous peoples, we could never have been a nation. It's now a period of reconciliation in which we confess that our sharing of this land has sometimes been unequal. And the Canada of the future must provide for all of its citizens. To see how all-encompassing God's promise of a nation is, several peoples look back to Abraham. Christians, Muslims, and Jews all trace their ancestry to Abraham and Sarah, even if in the Muslims' view, it is through Sarah's handmaid. The amazing thing is that while God did have a path through Judaism to Christianity in mind, that path through his son was always intended to make people of all nations as God's chosen people, because Jesus' gift was the most unifying gift in history. A land, a people, and now God says, I will bless you. As God had said in the early verses of Genesis, his blessing involved being fruitful and multiplying. Now God was promising a man of 75 years old, without any children, that his children would be so plentiful that a new land was needed to house them. Once again, God turns events on their heads. The man whose wife lived in shame because she had not a child, and the man whose name ironically means exalted father, would become a father, but in God's time. And we'll come back to this idea of blessing again, because God does in chapter 12 of Genesis. Closely coupled with the great nation that God was about to create, he says, I will make your name great. Here God spoke to the legacy of this chosen man, that down through the years, his name would be synonymous with one who followed God and was richly blessed. Kids in Sunday school sing songs about being sons and daughters of Father Abraham for this very reason. What did it mean that his name would be great? We once again see that it is God who will make his name great. We look to Abraham for his obedient faith, as was read for you this morning, but it is God who blesses this faith with a promised child. It is God who lifts his name high by recording it in the Bible. Now Abraham's name is not quite so ironic. Chapter 11 of Genesis tells a story of a people of Babel who wanted to make a name for themselves. Chapter 11, verse 4. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. Were we speaking about irony? How about this? All the things that these people strove for under their own power were gifted to Abraham by God. Abraham, one who was required to give up his own striving in order to follow a God that was not even the God of his ancestors. And now we come to what I believe is the most crucial part of the promises. Thus far, the promises were for his direct descendants. So far, the promises are all about what will happen to Abraham. But now, it is what he will do. Or even better, what he will be. Now the promise is, you shall be a blessing. Abraham will be the vehicle of God's blessing to the world. You shall be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Our second lesson for today. Abraham was not blessed for his own sake. He was not even blessed for his descendants' sake. He was blessed so that he could be a channel of God's blessings to the entire world. Benjamin Noonan, who is a Hebrew scholar, says that the go of verse 1 should be coupled with the source of blessing that completes verse 2, and he renders it like this: go, dot, 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 so that you may be a blessing. In other words, all of the promises, the land, his own blessing, the great name, are a prelude to the most important promise. If he goes, Abraham will become a blessing to the world. The words of the hymn, "Make me a channel of blessing," come to mind. And if we can work it out, we're going to print it for next month. I know it's not in this book. He tried to get it for today, but we can print it perhaps next month. In the chorus, the writer enjoins us to pray that we ourselves be channels of blessing, just as Abraham was commissioned by God to do. In verse 4 of Genesis chapter 12, we find the culmination of the passage. As Moses records it, there can be no other conclusion. So he begins with the word, "so." Abraham, being the man he was, he has to go just as God called him to. All the promises and all the blessings are bracketed by a very simple pair of statements in verse 1 and verse 4. In verse 1, go. In verse 4, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him to do. It was done. And the narrative returns to expand upon the new path Abraham's life was about to take. We get two more affirmations from God, renewing and strengthening the force of his commitment to bless. In chapter 22, we have the story of Abraham again being called, this time to sacrifice his child of the promise, his beloved Isaac. Again, Abraham follows God without reserve, offering up his son, as the Hebrew writer puts it, trusting that God could revive the dead. Then God speaks. Genesis 22 and verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time. That's a second time there. That's not referring back to chapter 12. He'd already talked to him before. He called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Abraham's blessing is renewed, and once again, God looks forward to the blessing of all people through him. Again, when Isaac is a grown man and Abraham's quest after God has passed on to him, we read in Genesis chapter 26, beginning in verse 3, "Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions." Isaac is reassured by the God who spoke openly with his father. "You will be blessed. You will have numerous offspring. But the most important blessing is coming. God sees a day when all humankind will be blessed through one very special descendant." So, three lessons today. Lesson number one, blessing is contingent on us doing our part. God always does the heavy lifting, but we have to do our part. Abram was told to go, and he did exactly that. If God calls us to be a blessing, he may have work for us in the process. We need to pray, as the song says, to make us a channel of blessing. But we need to be prepared to listen and act upon his call. We can't be a channel if we sink our barge at the mouth of the river. Just like the water around the barge, God will find an alternate way to achieve his blessing of his children. It just won't involve us. Lesson number two. Land, lineage, and legacy. These are the things that Abraham was promised by God, all under the umbrella of God's blessing. But it involved Abraham passing it along, as we like to say. Indeed, we see this played out in the lives of his descendants as they sought to channel God's blessings. Abraham himself gave Lot the choice lands, which was his right as the eldest. He rescued Sodom and its environs when it was attacked and captured. Isaac blessed his neighbors with wells of water in the desert. Jacob prospered Laban, despite Laban having acted in bad faith about the promise of a wife. Potiphar's household flourished under the faithful stewardship of Joseph. Joseph then blessed Pharaoh, Egypt, and preserved even the nations around when he steadfastly followed God's direction in dealing with a famine. Abraham and his descendants were truly blessed, but the most important blessing was still in God's mind. Lesson number three. This was all part of God's plan. Something bigger and better was coming. And I don't think I'm giving anything away when I say it would come through Jesus. Since we live on the other side of the cross, how much more should we appreciate the need for us to pass that blessing on to others? It seems that we've fallen out of the habit of having invitations very often, but this sermon seemed to lend itself to that. We need to be a people who recognize how blessed we are and pass that blessing of Jesus along. If you are in the audience and if you have not given yourself to Jesus, I would invite you to come speak to some of the people of the church, and we would be delighted to help you do that. And next month, Lord willing, and on time, me working properly, we'll close this. We talk about the greatest blessing of all.